Our book that we will be reading, one church, one book, over the season of Lent. The book is Waking Up White. There's more information in your bulletin. And if you need help ordering a copy of the book, let me know. I'm happy to do it for you. Our first conversation will take place March 12th after worship in the adult lounge. Al's got some announcements.
Good morning. Friday night, we had a nice small group of people come here and work real hard mixing up 6 pans of goulash. And yesterday, we took that goulash down to St. Joseph's and served it at their noontime meal. They again voted GPC goulash is the best in Rochester. With their mouths, and they're coming back for seconds, thirds, and fourths, and however many they could get. So we used up all the goulash that we made. So that was a good thing. And so thank you to all those that helped prepare it and helped at the serving yesterday. If you feel like, oh, gee, I missed out, I didn't get to volunteer and donate food, or I didn't help prep, we have another opportunity for you. Bridge House, which is a homeless shelter, which is going to be taken over by responsibility by the House of Mercy, is finding out that they've got to run at their current location a few weeks longer than they expected. So they needed a few more meals prepped. And Gates Presbyterian stepped up and said, sure, Wednesday, March 1st, it would be a great day. Except, that's Ash Wednesday. So, we're planning to make the meal in the afternoon here, go down and serve it, and be back in time for service. So, don't let that stop you from signing up to help come and serve the meal. The sign-up is out on the board, and we'll appreciate your help. Thank you.
Thank you, Al. Also, if you have been a guest worshiping with us for a number of weeks and are looking to learn more about membership here at GPC, there will be more information in your bulletin in weeks to come, but mark your calendar for that last Sunday in March. The session and I, we will meet with anyone who's interested in learning more about membership here at GPC. Now, friends, let us join our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God. Please stand as you are comfortable and able and join together in the call to worship. We are called to turn the other cheek.
We will seek to be vulnerable in our lives of faith and service.
We are called to go the extra mile. We are called to love those who make that so hard.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. Holy God, forgive us for our sins against our community. We have not provided for the poor or the refugee in our land. We have not paid just wages to those who labor. We have made life difficult for persons with disabilities. We have rendered improper judgments about right and wrong. We have done harm to the environment. Holy Jesus, forgive our sins against our neighbors. We have not been generous. We have not prayed for our neighbors' needs. We have slandered friends and foes alike. We have loved ourselves more than we love others. Holy Spirit, thank you for the assurance of forgiveness. Help us move beyond our sin, that we may make the world a better place to live. Amen. God offers to each one of us the gift of wisdom and the power of grace. This is not of our own doing, but comes from the very center of God's being. As we receive such gifts, we are shaped into the image of God, forgiven and whole. Thanks be to God.
Wait. Is it true? Yeah, okay. All right, hi, friends. All right, where should we sit today? Does this work for you guys? All right. I'd like for you to meet my friend, Jan. How would you like to be introduced this morning?
Just call me Miss Jan.
How about Miss Jan? This is Miss Jan. I think a lot of you know her. She sits over here, and she's going to share with you the message this morning. Can I join?
Exactly.
Yes?
This is a hard floor, simply.
All right.
Oh, good morning. Good to see you all. You all excited about this coming week, having a week off from school? Yeah, no, yes, maybe. Got good things planned. Who knows, right? Yeah. Well, I have something here I want to show you, I want to ask you about. It's going to be a little difficult to do. All right. What is this? Oh, well, thank you, Carrie. She's so helpful. It's a card. What kind of card? Valentine's Day card. Did we just have Valentine's Day this past week? Yeah, did you all give cards like this to people? Why do you give cards like this to people? Because it's nice to do, yeah. Why else? Show your appreciation. That's a good one. Oh, yeah, it's a big word, yeah. Anybody else? Yeah. Oh, that was fun, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. Sometimes kids can't eat candy, so you have to bring something else, right? Yeah. What do the heart means? What's the heart stand for? Love. I love you, right, yeah. So these are Valentines that we give to each other to show people that we love them, right, that we love each other. Well, I have something here else I want to show you, and this is a book. What is this book? The Bible. Yeah, do you all have a Bible somewhere? There's in the house someplace? Yeah. There's a real big one up on here, and I was going to use that one this morning, but I thought, no, I'd probably throw my back out. It's kind of heavy. So I brought mine from home. This is my Bible that I use every day. And you can see, you can thumb through it. You can see it has all kinds of words in it. No pictures. This one doesn't have pictures. But it has words, doesn't it? Thousands and thousands of words. And these are all very good words. And this is our Valentine from God. This is telling us, this is our instruction book of how we should be living and what we need to do to show God's love. So this is God's Valentine to us. But as I said, it has tons and tons of words in it. And we can't really remember every single one of them. If we did, we'd be... I don't even think Pastor Melissa here knows all of them. She probably knows two-thirds of them, but she probably doesn't know all of them. She's working on the other third, people. Give her a few more years. Yes. That's right. We read it so we can remember over and over again. You're right. That's a good point. That's why we have books. We can read them over and over again. Some of you sang a song last week in junior choir, and some of the words that you sang were, God will provide for you, God will take care of you, God will show you the way. Remember that? You all did a wonderful job with that. That was a really nice song. I like that. And that's what this book is all about, showing you the way. But as I said, there's so many words in there to try to remember, so I'm going to let you in on a little secret. And I'm going to tell you the most important three words that you ever have to remember in your entire life, okay? And this means I don't care how tall you get, how big you grow, how much you learn. The most important thing you must always remember in life is three little words, and that is that God loves you. That's all you really need to remember, no matter how tough things get or how old you grow. God's always there for you. Does everybody have a pointer finger? See your pointer finger. Everybody has a pointer finger. What is this number when you hold this up? One. And so the most one important thing to remember is God loves you. I want you to take your pointer finger, and I want you to point it at yourself. And after me, I want you to say, God loves me. Ready? God loves me. God loves me. One more time louder.
God loves me.
One more time even louder.
God loves me.
I want everybody here in this sanctuary, lift your finger, your pointer finger to the air, point it back at yourself, and after, and on the count of three, God loves me. One, two, three.
God loves me.
Very good. I have some, after we do our prayer, I have some stickers here for you to take. What does it say on these little heart stickers? confess God loves me. There's plenty here, so you can probably each take more than one. I want you to take them home, take the back up. Oh, there you go. Help yourself. Okay. You wait 1 second. Wait till we do our prayer, okay? And take them home, take the stickers off, take the stick off the back, stick them up where you'll see it, and remember, stick it on your bedroom door or the refrigerator or wherever, the window, wherever Mom will let you do it, okay? And so you can always remember that God loves me no matter what. So can we do our little prayer first? Dear God, we thank you for always loving us. Help us to always remember that. Amen. Thank you. I can go to Sunday school.
This morning's first reading is from Leviticus chapter 19. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. And you shall not lie to one another. And you shall not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not defraud your neighbor, you shall not steal, and you shall not keep for yourself the wages of a laborer until morning. You shall not revile the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. You shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice, you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart anyone of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord."
Thank you.
Amen. For our gospel reading this morning, we turn to Matthew. We continue to hear Jesus' words in the famous Sermon on the Mount. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. And you have heard it said, you shall love your neighbors and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. We've all got our verses. The ones when we read through the Bible that we think to ourselves, oh, I could really live without those being in there. Maybe yours is Leviticus, for example. But as a Presbyterian preacher, I'm not really supposed to make that confession, am I? I'm supposed to encourage you to struggle with the text, to ask hard questions, to look deeper into the historical context of a passage, to be challenged, to really learn about the realities of the communities who first lived and who first heard these words. We're supposed to do the work of looking at how the stories fit into the big Bible story. And if you might be feeling exceptionally wild, maybe you might even investigate the original Greek and Hebrew translation of the text. I know, I'm telling you, we know how to live it up when it comes to the Bible, us Presbyterians. But still, at the end of the day, there are the verses, the stories that we just struggle and wrestle around with more than others. And maybe even just a little bit, we might wish they weren't in the Bible at all. Today's lectionary has uncovered one of mine. No, not Leviticus. Jesus, be perfect. Be perfect as God is perfect. Automatically, my heart starts to race when I start thinking about setting excessively high performance standards, striving for everything to be the way that I think that it should be for it to be flawless. That relentless inner critic just lets loose, saying, it's not good enough. It's not quite good enough. Just a little bit more. And I know it's not something that I just struggle with. We live in this culture that that from very young age we encourage measuring and achieving these high expectations, climbing ladders to nowhere, and cultivating these fears of failure. Now, God love you if you are one of these people that can just shrug that off, all those pressures, and just declare, you know what, I know I'm not perfect, I just do the best I can and move on. I'd love to spend more time with you. But others of us in small, maybe we've learned to manage it better as we've become more experienced and practiced. All the ways that we fall short of what we think is expected of us. Brené Brown, who is someone I have mentioned in sermons before because of her work around shame and vulnerability and imperfection, it's incredible. But one of her first books was actually called The Gifts of Imperfection. And in it she says that, so there's the secret. When perfectionism is driving, shame is always riding shotgun, and fear is the annoying backseat driver. Guided by perfectionism, shame, fear, we say, everything's perfect, my job is perfect, my marriage is perfect, my children are perfect, and right, that's called Facebook. But Brown calls perfectionism a 20-ton shield that we carry around with us to protect ourselves from getting hurt. But in most cases, perfectionism simply prevents us from really connecting with one another. I think of perfectionism as a mask, and behind that mask of perfectionism, we know deep down we aren't perfect. And so we feel ashamed, lonely, cut off from whomever we might think is living up to that higher standard. Brown's research is right on. But is this what Jesus is getting at his teaching in the Sermon on the Mount? How we all should be perfectionists? Since I was feeling exceptionally wild this week, I pulled out the big Greek lexicon off of my bookshelf, and I thought to myself, let's just see, what is that word that the original Greek has to say about perfect? So the Greek word, I know, if you can't handle this, it's a lot, teleos. And I found in there also these alternative translations to this word teleos. It's not just perfect or perfectionism. Really, what this word is communicating to us that doesn't quite translate into English is completion, to accomplish, a determined end, to see all the way through. When we think about the passage with those terms, what Jesus is setting before us is not a way to obsess how to succeed at life or being a Christian by getting everything right, but to persist in seeing through to the end the goal Jesus places before us. Being a follower of Christ, a disciple in the world today, does not demand from us perfection, getting it all right all the time, because we won't. And one of the reasons that religious institutions are failing so miserably and so quickly today is because in the past we've actually offered this up as an option. Right? If you just come to our church, invest countless amounts of energy, time, money, being that good Christian, you can go out into the world and say, I've done it. I've got it. I know how to be perfect. But now, see, people just don't buy it. Or they don't care. The vision that Jesus puts before us isn't about being perfect or better than someone else. In fact, Jesus' vision of God's community is just the opposite. Go back through, especially the Beatitudes. Jesus has a lot to say about that. And one theologian reminds us that God's community is filled first and foremost with people who put others first. Every decision and action is carried out for the common good. Each person is sister or brother to the other, an act out of love. The capacity for this kind of love is due to the empowering love given by God, who is love. And we're able then to be gracious and forgiving, hospitable and generous, because we are children of the God who showers us with abundant grace and mercy, love and protection. Those who know God's love can now love their enemies. Those who experience God's forgiveness now can forgive those who persecute them. Those who claim God's gift of generosity can now give back to those who have little or nothing. We are able to do these things because in Jesus we live in the days of God's reign, not our own. And with the words of this text, Jesus isn't setting impossible goals before us, nor is he holding up the ways we carry around the shame of not being perfect. Instead, Jesus holds up God's vision. Toward the divine end that realizes the full blessings of what God has in mind for all people. Now, one of the most incredible stories of persistence that I've encountered recently was in one of those very rare chances I had to sneak away to the movies, and I saw Hidden Figures. Oh, I hear, oh yeah. It's been out a few weeks, but if you haven't had a chance to go see it, go. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, it's based on the true story of African-American women in segregated Virginia in the 1960s. And these women played a pivotal role in NASA's success at getting astronauts into space. These women couldn't use the bathroom in NASA's Langley main campus. They had to eat in separate lunchrooms. They were paid considerably less than their white male colleagues. And one of them, Katherine Johnson, a Presbyterian elder, we claim her, she was chair of her finance committee. And as you watch her mathematical genius at work, you see the ways her society was unable to recognize her talents because of what they thought they knew about race, about gender. But nevertheless, she persisted. And because of her contributions to the project, John Glenn and the Friendship 7 rocket made it back to Earth safely. It's been a lot of time between then and now. We may not have segregated lunch counters or bathrooms. Women may not be dismissed from their jobs because they desire to start a family. But we know that racism and sexism still infects our country systematically. From our educational systems to drinking water and pay gaps, we still have a long way to go in working toward the reign of God's love and the common good for all people. But just because we have a long way to go, where the circumstances are becoming more challenging, we don't give up. We may not always know the exact right steps, what I can do as a person in my everyday life. I may not know the perfect words to say. Nevertheless, we persist. Because to do otherwise, to do nothing, because we feel like perfection is the only goal, just reinforces the shame, the fear, the isolation. To be perfect, we will obsess with all the explanations over the right way to do something. To be perfect, we internalize the difficulties that lie ahead, detour from the failures. To be perfect, we internalize those shortcomings and move farther away from each other and God's vision for the world. But persistence, on the other hand, assures us we are not alone. Look around this room. Really. Look, just right, left, a little behind you. We are not alone. Persistence assures us that God is working with us, all of us, and through all of us. Persistence is what we need to keep working towards God's vision of love in the world here and now and in the time to come. So, friends, be persistent. Therefore, as God never gives up on us. Maybe I'll stick with these verses after all. Thanks be to God. We gather here indeed around this table, and we bring with us all of who we are and where we are in our communities and our lives and our families, and we offer prayers for those in need, and we celebrate together those joys. If you have a prayer of joy or concern you'd like to share, raise your hand and an usher will bring a microphone over to you.
Good morning. Keisha Binko, I'd just like to ask for prayers for the family and friends of the person that was found in the canal yesterday as they wait on positive identification. Thank you.
For that family as they wait.
Tess McKeel, prayers for a friend who lost her husband this week to a heart attack and just the path she's going to need to take.
Prayers for that family. I would ask for prayers for a seminary colleague of mine, a young man who died from cancer and left his wife and four children, and so prayers for the Hauser family as they grieve.
I'd like to ask continued prayers for the family of the Nicolosi boy that was killed in the accident. I attended the services, and it was a very heartrending experience. So more prayers for those people that get them through this difficult time.
Prayers for the family. And with our children this morning, we pray. We definitely join them in prayer for the Jamaica mission team, who we did see yesterday on Facebook, made it safely down to Negril. So continued prayers for their week of service and relationships together. From our children, we also pray for the joy of playdates and stickers and love, for beautiful weather and for basketball. Prayers of joy for a dad's birthday and the famous people he shares it with, apparently. Prayers for our kiddos who are already skipping to Halloween and very excited about it. And we ask for prayers for siblings who are being mean. Amen. No matter how young or old, we can join them in that prayer. Gracious and loving God, we turn to you, you who have created this world, who rule this world, you who entered into human form in the body of Jesus to live, to demonstrate the kind of love that you have for us all, O God. You suffered and died as we humans do and brought with you the hope of new life. Even from the cross, you showed mercy, compassion. And so this morning, we come before you in prayer one more time, lifting up our hopes and sorrows, our fears, our dreams, our grief and joy. We bring you these prayers from our own lives, for our loved ones, for our city of Rochester, for our nation, for our world. To those who are grieving today, bring your healing touch and mend our broken hearts. To those of us who are afraid, give protection that we all may be safe. Remind us when we forget that you are our firm foundation. Our faith is built upon the rock that is your love and justice. On this day, we acknowledge you as ruler of us all. And we pray also for our elected leaders. Give them wisdom and integrity. May they truly serve all people. Help us, O God, to place our trust in you, not in earthly things that rise and fall and pass away. You have been the ground of our being since the beginning of time, and you will be our salvation forever. Guide our steps, O God, that we may persist following the path that Jesus set before us. And let us also say together the prayer he taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue our time of worship, giving thanks for the abundance in which God has entrusted to us as we offer a portion of that back in service to God.
Have Jesus to show us that maybe perfect isn't a goal but an action. That instead of being perfect, we should do perfect. So these gifts are one way that we try to do that. Please use them in the world to do perfect. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
In my head.
And friends, we go out into the world assured of the love that God has for all of us, and that God keeps going with that love to the very end. Go with that love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit that it takes for each and every one of us, indeed, to persist. Amen.